seeking the Lord's help and his gracious presence this afternoon, we will commence by reading hymn 961. Hymn 961. Be still, my heart, these anxious cares. To thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord, and contradict his gracious word. Brought safely by his hand thus far, why dost thou now give place to fear? How canst thou want if he provide, or lose thy way with such a guide? Did ever trouble yet befall, and he refuse to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed, that thou shalt overcome at last? He who hath helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through, and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. I will read three short portions from God's holy word. The first is in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. The book of Numbers, chapter 13, and we'll commence at verse 26, the 26th verse. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. Surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coasts of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched, unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And let us now turn to Mark's Gospel, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, and we will commence to read at the 35th verse, verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then we turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. And we commence to read a verse 22 to the end of 25. Luke 8, commencing verse 22 to the end of verse 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds, and water, and they obey him. Well, may the Lord bless to us his holy word and teach us how to pray. Once more, dear Lord, we would venture to the throne of thy grace. And oh, we do seek for thy sweet and sacred presence to be with us each, where'er we may be. And Lord, thou knowest the circumstances in which we venture to worship thee, and how this nation and many of the nations of the earth are under the great cloud of affliction. And oh, we pray that thou wilt draw near to us each, as thou didst to those that journeyed to Emmaus. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And Lord, how we need continually thee to draw near and to go with us. And especially as we seek to worship thee, that thy precious name may be honoured and glorified in our worship, and in our hearts, in our lives, in our experiences. And how we need thee to draw near, Lord, and go with us in our steps of our lives, what we have to walk through. Those, Lord, in work, those at school, in schooling, Lord, though it be at home now, and those, Lord, that are away, and those that need thee in many ways, oh, that thou wouldst draw near to each one, that thy sweet and sacred presence may be known and felt, and that we may sweetly experience, as those dear disciples did, that their heart burned within them while he talked with them by the way. And, O Lord, may we know what our heart, in our hearts, what it is for our heart to burn within us in love to thee. Lord, we would love thee and adore thee. And oh, we pray thou wilt favour us with those sweet tastes of thy love. And oh, that thou wouldst whisper those precious words to our souls. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And, O Lord, how we need thee to draw us. And may we prove thy drawing power to draw our hearts, to draw our affections heavenward, to draw us, Lord, to thy dear feet, that we may sit at the feet of Jesus as legion did, clothed and in our right minds. Oh, do empty us of self, Lord, empty us of this world. We pray thou wilt fill us with thyself. You help us to plead and wrestle with thee, that thou wilt be with us in all the untrodden steps of life's journey. Thou wilt keep us in thy fear. Thou wilt keep us tender, Lord, and humble. May we have the mind and the spirit of Christ. and no sweet communion with him. And oh, may we, dear Lord, be ever leaning hard upon thee. For Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Do bless each one of thy dear people. Preserve and keep the dear children. May they each be taught of thee. And may there be those raised up to be pillars in thy house in their day and generation. And we do pray, Lord, for those that are not well at this time, that thou wilt send that needed healing and restoring, if it's thy will. And that thou wilt so bless them in the path of affliction, and sanctify it all to them, that out of the bitter there may come forth that which is sweet. And Lord, we pray for those that care for the afflicted, our nurses and doctors and ambulance men and many others, Lord, that give their all in caring for them, especially in this terrible virus that's sweeping the land. And may those, Lord, that we know of be kept, Lord, and others too, from the virus, and be preserved and protected. May the prayers for them be heard and answered. We thank thee for their willingness to do so much for thy afflicted people. And we pray thou wilt richly reward them. And oh, do remember those that are sorrowful and bereaved and grieving, Lord. We pray that thou wilt speak through these things, and that the care wilt comfort, Lord, all thy mourning people. For thou hast said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt remember those in trouble, those that need thee maybe in some special way, those that have got impossibilities. May faith be strengthened to believe that thou wilt bring to fruition those things that are impossible with men, but are possible with thee. And oh, do come, Lord, and quieten the hearts of those tossed around and those tempted by Satan, Lord. Do deliver them from the tempter's power and bring them out into a wealthy place. And oh, do remember those that are in the evening time of life. May they prove thy sweet promise, that at evening time it shall be light. Prepare them and prepare us each to stand before thy face, for thy spirit must thy work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash us in his blood, so shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. And oh, do remember the churches, Lord, though many of the churches are closed now and unable to worship thee in thy house. We pray that thou would appear and bless Zion and send a season of real prosperity. May there be brought out of this dark cloud a blessing abundantly, if it be thy holy will, that we might crown thee Lord of all and praise and bless thy holy name. Do remember, Lord, thy dear servants who help them in their labours, those that labour, those unable to labour. Do grant them sweet submission to thy will. For thou dost cause it to come, as we read in Job, Lord, whether for correction, or for thy land, or for mercy. We pray that thou wilt ever keep us from rebelliousness and hardness, but do speak through it all, that our souls may be abundantly blessed. Do blot out all our many, many sins, dear Lord. Truly they are great, and we need thee to wash us in that precious blood of the dear Redeemer. How we need thee to make us right and keep us right and teach us all that we need to know. And do remember, Lord, this nation and the nations of the earth. Do speak through these solemn things, Lord, that many may yet fear thee and tremble at thy word. And may Zion once again be built up, and the nation here in England, Lord, be a nation that truly fears thee and honours thee. Lord, do stem the tide of iniquity and sin. Work, we pray, for thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? Remember all thy dear people, especially those that are persecuted, those that are oppressed, those in war-torn lands, those in refugee camps, Lord. Thou knowest the solemn position of many. We beg of thee to appear. Do make bare thine arm, and work wondrously, we beseech thee. Do be with us now as we turn to thy holy word. Do grant, Lord, voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy people. And do clothe with power the poor preacher's tongue. May we be just the pipes that the golden oil flows through, the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And do suit thy word to every sinner's case. Hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place. Help us to love and praise thee more, and crown thee Lord of all. We would give thee all the glory, all the praise, dear Lord. The benefit is ours, but the glory belongs to thee. We ask thee to forgive what we've uttered amiss, and wash us in that precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. We ask it for his dear name's sake. Amen. Let us continue by reading hymn 290. Dangers of every shape and name attend the followers of the Lamb, who leave the world's deceitful shore and leave it to return no more. O Lord, the pilot's part perform, and guide and guard me through the storm. Defend me from each threatening ill. Control the waves. Say, peace, be still. Amidst the roaring of the sea, my soul still hangs her hopes on thee. Thy constant love, thy faithful care, is all that saved me from despair. seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll again direct you to Psalm 46 and the first part of verse 10. Psalm 46, the first part of the 10th verse. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, the first part of verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. May the Lord help us to look a little into this as helped. It is a very beautiful word which has been made life and power to many of God's dear children. And in this solemn crisis that we're in the nation and in the churches, and many are so fearful what may come, and even upon us each we know not, but oh, may the Lord enable us to be still, and only he can grant it. We're often tossed around by many things. We're tossed around by our many fears. We're tossed around because of our sins. We're like a cork in the ocean, as it were, tossed around on every side by Satan, by our own deceitful hearts. And as the hymn writer said, we're creatures of fear, and we drag along and fear where no fear is. But this is a word that the Lord often sends to settle his dear people when they are disturbed in mind, in heart, in soul, troubled on every side. Be still. What a sweet word, isn't it? Be still. And we read together, and it seemed to so drop in just prior to the service, about dear Caleb and how wonderfully the Lord was pleased to enable him to speak to the dear children of Israel. And I just want to have a look a little at it this afternoon. Firstly, the Lord had commanded through Moses, he was the messenger, to send one of every tribe to spy out the land of Egypt, the land of Canaan rather. They'd been brought out of Egypt, and to spy out the land. They got to the very shores of Canaan, and they were to go and spy this land out. But you see, there were only two that brought back a good report of the land. As we read in Numbers 13, how many, those 10, brought back an evil report of the land. But Caleb and Joshua brought back a very blessed report of the land. The difference between the 10 and Caleb and Joshua, the 10 looked at all the impossibilities. And it may be with us today, as we see the solemn state that the nation's in and how things are, there are many impossibilities. And it may be in your heart, in your pathway, in your family, in the church of God. There's all these impossibilities. Now these 10, they brought back this evil report. They looked at the giants. You may have many giants today. in your experience. Many mountains. And you look at these things and they look impossible. They looked at the walled cities. They looked at all the things that they thought, well, we can never overcome them. And they couldn't themselves. But the vast difference between that those ten and Caleb and Joshua were, Caleb and Joshua were given living, vital faith. They looked above all these things to the God of heaven, who could in a moment help them to overcome them. Those that were dwelling in the land, the children of Anak, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites. And we read in that chapter a beautiful word that's a very precious word. And may the Lord grant it to each of us today. Our text says, "Be still and know that I am God." And what did Caleb say to the people? We read, and Caleb stilled the people, calmed their minds, calmed their hearts, and see the faith in him. He stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." You see, in the Lord, in him being with them, they could overcome all these impossibilities. And how he stilled the people, gave them a calm and gracious mind and heart, instead of looking at all the giants, the enemies in the land, the impossibilities. And may that be a word to encourage us in this dark and solemn day in which we live. And Caleb stilled the people. But our text says, and the Lord speaking, "Be still, be still." You know, it's one of the hardest things to do when we're in the midst of trouble, to be still. But I want to look at it in a few ways, as we may be helped in a moment. But think of those two lessons we read concerning the dear disciples. You see, in Mark's Gospel, and then again in Luke, we read of that sacred occasion where the Lord Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. Now, they had to take that journey. It was all appointed by the Lord. And the things that have come upon us in this nation are all appointed by him. We sing in the hymn, don't we? All events at his command. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. And it wasn't by chance that these dear disciples had to come into this ship and go over. He says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And, you know, in many things, there's the other side of them. And what a mercy when we're brought to the other side. Well, here they venture forth. And they hadn't gone far. Well, there was this very great storm arose of wind and of waves and beat upon the ship. And they were filled with water. And what a great trouble it was to these dear disciples. They couldn't still the wind. They couldn't still the sea. But the dear Redeemer was with them in it all. And I often think, and I think we looked at this morning, where he says, a very present help in trouble. Well, here he was very present with them, but he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And I think if I remember rightly, that it's the only time we read of the dear Redeemer asleep on a pillow. And when you lay your head on the pillow at night, well, you remember this, because he said, didn't he, and it's recorded so beautifully in Scripture, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. But on this occasion, he was asleep with his head on a pillow. And, you know, there's a wonderful thing there. Love had given him that pillow. He could lay down, and he sleeps. Now, the disciples were so troubled about this wind that was raging, the sea and waves were beating into the ship, and they were filling with water. And there's no doubt they feared for their lives, and they couldn't control it at all. It was out of their reach. It may be there are things in your heart, in your pathway, they're out of your reach. You cannot deal with them. What do we read? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You see, he's on the throne. We read in the hymn, he sits on no precarious throne, nor by his leave to be. He's in control of all things. Be still and know that I am God. In control of it all. And here he was in control, though he was asleep in this ship with these dear disciples. But they, what did they do? They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And what did he do? And he arose and rebuked the wind. Controlled it all. Cause it to be still, that wind. It's a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord, none of us, we have winds in the earth and winds even today. And we cannot control them, nor can any man in the earth. But the Lord was to cause that wind to be still. And he arose and rebuked the wind. Now, we see something else here, which I just want to name before we go further. You may say, well, if he was in control of it all, why did he rebuke it? Well, there's a reason for that, one in one's little understanding of these things. It was because Satan had got in the sea, and the Lord permitted it. You know, Satan can get into things. And when he gets into things, he makes havoc. And he got into the sea and trying to destroy the Lord Jesus and trying to destroy these dear disciples. That's why the Lord rebuked the wind. Because Satan was active in it. And, you know, I hadn't thought of that till just now. It seemed to come so powerfully that the Lord rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And how he stilled those waves. Those dear disciples were in sweet amazement of his power. We see here the wonderful power of the Lord stilling things, like he used Caleb to still the people before Moses. And here the Saviour, he speaks, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And oh, how sweet it is when the Lord calms our troubled breast and speaks peace, be still. And just one other thought that comes, so I will name it, and that is, why did he speak peace? In that peace was pardon. You see, these dear disciples, as it goes on to say, they were so fearful. He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And the Lord was pleased to speak peace to them because of their unbelief. All they deserve was his wrath. You see, the sin of unbelief is a terrible sin. It kept the children of Israel 40 years in the wilderness. The hymn writer said, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And here he rebuked them. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And we see how wonderfully pardoning love was given to these dear disciples. But there's another way. I just want to look at it, how he stilled things there even in the sea. Firstly, we've looked at the sea and the wind. But secondly, he stilled the hearts of his dear people. What a mercy it is, you know, you can come into the house of God in the midst of trouble, and the Lord speak, be still, and oh, the sweet calm there is upon our hearts, upon our breasts. And the same applied in Luke's Gospel, and they both, Luke and Mark, were unable to say what, and the disciples did together, what manner of man is this, that the wind, even the wind and the sea obey him. He demonstrates his mighty power. And we think of this text then, be still and know that I am God. But then, one thinks whenever I read this, in my early days, I used to go to Aldershot to preach a few Sundays a year. That chapel I know has been closed many years now, but in those days there was a dear old deacon there called Mr. Turner. And he was of great age, and he had several afflictions upon him, and he had to go into hospital. And when he went into the hospital, he was full of fears because of his great age and the afflictions upon him, and he got to go in for major surgery, and full of tossings to and fro, and he got in the hospital, and they laid him upon the bed, and he said, as he lay his head back on the pillow, the Lord spoke to him this word of our text, be still and know that I am God. And I shall never forget the dear man telling me. He said, you know, as I lay my head back there and the Lord spoke those words, he said, I felt I could leave it all in his hands. Be still. That's what I've got to do. And, you know, the Lord wonderfully gave him peace within, quietness. We read in Isaiah 30, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. It's a beautiful word, really. When we're still, everything is quiet, like the sea was when the Lord rebuked it, and the wind. Quietness. Be still. And he said, I had that sweet quietness, submission, you see, to the Lord's mind and his will. Well, they did the operation, the doctors administered it, and he was wonderfully brought through. And the surgeon that did the operation came to see him a day or so after the operation, and he said to Mr. Turner, Mr. Turner, he said, you're a miracle. He said to the doctor, I'm no miracle. He said the miracle was the Lord's, what he has done. And he said, now I will tell you what took place. And he told the doctors that the Lord spoke those beautiful words of our text to him. And he said, be still and know that I am God. And the dear man, you know, could tell the doctors exactly all what he'd experienced, and they were stood in amazement. You see, the affliction that he was in the Lord's hands. The dear man's heart and soul and life was in the Lord's hands. Those doctors, in the administering of that operation, were all in the Lord's hands. And he is upon the throne today, and he is in control of all things. Be still and know that I am God. We think of the dear disciples on another occasion where he commanded them to get into a ship and to sail to the other side of the lake. And they hadn't gone far before the storm arose. And what do we read? That he came to them, walking upon the sea. He saw them all in what they were in. He sees what you're in today, what I'm in. He sees what's going on in the nation. It's all in his hand. And he walks upon the sea to them. And what does he do? He rebukes the wind and the waves. And, you know, they'd come into a very dark place. It was the fourth watch of the night. And there's no doubt, and as we read, they feared. But the Lord was pleased to come and still their fears, deliver them from the sea, still the sea, and the raging of the water. And what do we read? And there was a great calm. A great calm. But what I want to look at just briefly now is this. Be still and know that I am God. Sweet submission to his will. And when the Lord gives us sweet submission, we can be still. Oh, we can. I think of what the hymn writer said, to lie passive at his dear feet and know no will but his. You know, there's some wonderful records in God's word, and I just hint at them, of similar words to these. You see, if you go back, I think it's again to Isaiah 30, we read that beautiful word, and I should never forget the Lord speaking it to me. You know, I was in deep trouble where we were at Ashwell in my early days, and everything seemed against me, and the troubles prevailed, I remember I couldn't sleep, and I begged the Lord to give me sleep, and I went to sleep. And I woke at about 3 o'clock, I think it was, in the morning. And as I woke, the Lord spoke these words: "The strength of every tempted son consists in standing still." And the Lord showed me that's exactly what I got to do. If I didn't stand still, I'd fall right into the hands of Satan, the enemies, and they would destroy me. But that word, you see, stand still. Well, what I was going to say about Isaiah 30 was, we read this: their strength is to stand still. And you see, in being still, this will be your strength. Sweet submission, sweet resignation to the Lord's mind, his will. The Lord makes no mistake in all his dealings with his people. We make many mistakes. We are so prone to fall. But with the Lord, who sits upon the throne in glory, never makes a mistake. He orders all things. Be still and know that I am God. And you know, through that trial, I shall never forget how the Lord gave me that sweet submission, sweet resignation to his mind and his will. All I could do was to stand still there and to sit still. And that reminds me, of course, of dear Ruth, when she'd been in gleaning in the field of Boaz and wonderfully favoured to go into the threshing floor and to lie at his feet, Boaz being a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. And she returns to Naomi, and Naomi spoke a beautiful word to her. And it was so necessary for Ruth. She hadn't got to touch the matter. She got to leave everything in the Lord's hand. And this is what this "be still" means. Leave it all in the Lord's hand. We read, all events are at his command. Leave it in his hand. And what did Naomi say to her? That beautiful word: "Sit still, my daughter, until thou dost know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." That's a very sacred word, you know. I remember many years ago going to Rehoboth Tunbridge Wells as a hearer, begging of the Lord for a word to venture on in the journey, and the servant of God preached from there: "Sit still, my daughter." And that's all I could do, was just sit still, watch and wait for the Lord to work, for him to appear, for him to make bare his arm and work wondrously. And, you know, dear Ruth was to sweetly experience it. She hadn't got to do anything. She got to sit still. The Boaz, who was a beautiful type, as I've said, of the Lord Jesus, was to work wondrously for her and provide for her all she needed. And, of course, to marry her. Oh, to be married to Christ, the dear Redeemer. To be able to say with the hymn writer, "I'm married to the Lord the Lamb." But then, of course, there's that beautiful word concerning the children of Israel at the Red Sea. They were full of fears. They were tossed. Pharaoh pursuing them, the sea before them. And what did the Lord say to Moses to speak to them? "Fear ye not, stand still." And why were they to stand still? Why are you and I today to be still? and to know that he is God, to stand still, to see the Lord work. And he alone was to do it. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And faith in us, if we are blessed with a grain of it, will be looking for the Lord to work as we stand still, and as we be still, and as we sit still. And oh, that the Lord would come today and apply this word to us, and that we may leave all things in his blessed hands, resigned to his will. And what a word this is too, in conclusion, to come down to the hour and article of death. Those near in the swellings of Jordan, be still and know that I am God. As we read this morning, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And oh, to be still in his arms. He can hold you up, poor soul. He can provide for you. He can blot out all those sins that trouble you. He alone can work wondrously and do those things that are impossible for you and for me. And therefore, he must have all the glory. Well, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this precious word, be still. Clear commandment, isn't it? And know that I am God. Amen. We will conclude by reading hymn 275. Let me, thou sovereign Lord of all, low at thy footstool humbly fall. While I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that thou art God. Let me not murmur or repine under these trying strokes of thine. But while I walk the mournful road, be still and know that thou art God. When and where'er thou shalt smite, teach me to own thy sovereign right, and underneath the heaviest load, be still and know that thou art God. Still let this truth support my mind, thou canst not err nor be unkind, and thus approve thy chastening rod, and know thou art my Father God. When this afflicted soul shall rise to ceaseless joys beyond above the skies, I shall, as ransomed by thy blood, for ever sing, thou art my God. Dear Lord, who come over the poverty of one's poor ramblings and attempts, do bless thy holy word. May the text be so applied to our souls in this time of great need. And do forgive anything that's been amiss. Take us now into thy kind care and keeping, each of us where'er we be. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.